was a day where we had to sing through the music without knowing the music. So they handed us a sheet of paper. They went, read it, sing it, be amazing. And I had 6 days to learn the music. So on the very first day, I opened my mouth hole and I tried to sing what was on the page. I can't sight read, so it was terrible. It was something kind of like, instead of like how the song goes at the very end, where it's like, I know this might sound problematic, but it helps when you know the words. So, and the notes.
See, and I sound the first way when I do know the words and the notes. I still sound the first way.
That's not true. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. We are back from summer break, even though it's still summer. Today, joining me, I actually have a very special guest who I think you guys have seen a little bit on the podcast, but not nearly as much as you should, Adam Williams Astro.
Hey, impromptu producing.
So Cosmo's actually off out and about working in what state? He's in Florida. He's doing something in Miami. So I reached out to Adam to produce again.
And here I am producing again, hoping to get better, smoother cuts than last time.
I think you did a great job last time, so don't sweat the small stuff.
So, what are we talking about today?
Today, I'm going to be extremely cranky, and we're going to talk about unsolicited advice.
The worst kind of advice. No soliciting here.
So, the thing is, in life, we like to pretend that we know a lot of things, and we love to show off that we know a lot of things. But sometimes it's best to just not say anything and to keep your advice to yourself. So today I wanted to unpack my Delulu, which is unsolicited advice, and when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate, and what you can do to not be a jerk and give unsolicited advice.
Don't unsolicit.
Yeah. So let's dive on in.
Let's do it. You start the first one.
Okay, so I want to give you a little bit of a story time of where this episode came from, because usually the episodes are inspired by real life events. So once upon a time, I was on a movie set, as I do. If you don't know, I'm an actress. I act quite a bit.
What?
Yes, I do the acting. And I was on this set. And I'm not a big part at all, which I think is what you would call supporting, right? When you're not the main.
Yeah, I mean, there's levels within that co-star, guest star, you know, but
if it's a movie.
Yeah, if it's a movie and you're not like, again, there's always going to be a distinction between the lead cast and the supporting cast, and it might not even necessarily be having to do with the number of lines you have. You could be a supporting character who has more lines than a main character if the story's not about you. So, you know, kind of could go any other way. But I'd say based on what I've heard about it, I think, supporting character, yeah, 100%.
You could take me out of this film and nothing would change. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty irrelevant, but I like parts like that. It's fun for me because it's fun to play different things. Now, my character on this specific day that we were filming had one line. Not 12, not 13, not 25, one. I had one time where I had to open my mouth hole and say words. And I was kind of excited because it meant a not very stressful day for me. I wasn't going to be having my face in my script. And it allowed me to get to know the cast a little bit. It kind of was like a day playing sort of situation where they all have worked together so much. And I just popped in for the one day and was like, hey, friends, how's the film going? Sick. And then I would leave.
Yeah.
So I love those days.
Yeah. That's an easy day. You're in. You do your thing. You feel good about it. You're out. Yeah. Love that day.
So I get in there, and I'm all excited, and I'm just like my chipper self talking to everybody, having a good old time, like mixing and mingling, and we get to the very first scene of the day. The lead actor, you know, he's doing his thing. He's, you know, doing what he's got to do. He does his line a couple of times. He kind of like flubs them here and there, and, you know, we don't think anything of it because it happens. You get on set. Sometimes the elements get to you, the heat, other people around you. You get nervous. You all of a sudden realize you're on camera. You forget your lines. Forget your lines.
Timing? What's the two most important things about comedy?
You forget your lines. You flub things up all the time. And no one said anything. No one made a comment to this actor. It happened. We all moved on to the next scene, the next take. Not a big deal.
Yeah, not a big deal.
We finally roll around to where I get to say like three whole words. And I'm excited because I'm like, yeah, finally, we're at my scene. The reason I'm here today. Yeah. And I go to like get ready and they come and put powder on my face because I'm getting a nice big up close shot of me. And the AD comes up and makes a comment being like, hey, so we want you to say the line kind of like this. And when an AD gives you direction, assistant director, you take it because that usually means it's coming from the director. And right. Initially I was a little bit like, okay. Like it felt like a weird direction to give to me, in my opinion. It felt a little weird, but I was like, okay, sure, I'll do it that way. And Mr. Actor chimes in and goes, yeah, you should totally do it that way because it makes sense for your character. And you could see it kind of like this. And then proceeds to like say my line and tells me how to say it. And I politely look at him and I just go, you know, I'm actually just going to take the direction from the director since that's their job. And the AD thought I was talking about them. So the AD was like, what? And I was like, no, I'm just saying that I'm going to take direction from the director and not anybody else that it's not their job to when they're an actor.
For those of you who aren't aware, this is a double affront in the acting world because not only did an actor give unsolicited advice to another actor right after direction was given from the director, but he line read her. He said the line and said, this is how you should say it, blah, 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 which in the acting world is a huge faux pas. You never, ever line read somebody unless they specifically ask for it. And even then, a lot of directors aren't going to do it because it's up to the actor to decide on how this line would be delivered appropriately. And then to have somebody say, no, I want to hear it like this is like a huge, huge no-no. So a lot of audacity riding on this guy.
I didn't even know that that was, I love the validation you're giving me. Because I didn't think it was that bad, but now I'm like, you know what? You're right. It was that bad. And AD, so the AD kind of like realizes, and the next line they say is, oh, she's talking about you, honey, and looks right at the actor. And he was like, what? Like, he was so confused. It's like he had never had anyone ever like talk back to him. And the AD finally was just kind of like, oh, I gotta go. But I registered at that moment that the AD understood wasn't being disrespectful to them, was telling the actor basically to shut up nicely. And as soon as the AD leaves, the actor shuts the car door and kind of like grumbles and makes this like really sassy statement saying like, you know, on this set, we're all directors here. Like, we all help each other out. We're all directing each other. And that's how this set works. And you would know if you've been here. And I kind of go to, like, open my mouth and say something. And the actress sitting between us kind of goes, no, you're actually wrong. You're not a director on this set. And sure enough, the director goes, action. And we all start acting. And it was honestly perfect. Oh, wait, no. I said one more comment. I said one more thing. At the very end, I was like, what'd she say? She like chimed in. She said her piece. And then I also was like, yeah, you're not the director. So don't direct me. Like I had some one little like smooth cherry on top of the ice cream. Action was called. We all went and did our thing. My character kind of has an attitude anyway. So it sort of like worked in the scene. But then this actor would not talk to me for the rest of the day. And
good.
I eventually talked to the AD, pulled them aside, and I clarified in the spare moment alone and just said, hey, I want to clarify. I meant no disrespect towards you. It was not aimed at you in any way, shape, or form. I don't want people to see me as being difficult on set, but I will not tolerate another actor telling me before my one line how to say my line and how I should act in the scene when I have not even had a shot at talking on camera that day. And I want to clarify, it would be okay if I had struggled the whole day.
Right.
If I was the one flubbing my line, if I was the one who was like holding back set because I couldn't figure out how to say it or I didn't know what the director wanted, then I would be totally fine with another actor kind of leaning over and being like, hey, I think the director like kind of wants it this way. Like, why don't you try it a little different? You know, like
right,
in
like,
that moment,
yeah.
But not over the AD before I even got one take, and for somebody who has one line.
Right, like if I'm on take 100 and I've been holding the whole day up for like 6 hours, then by all means, line read the shit out of me. Like, let's just get it and move on. That's ridiculous. But the other thing that makes me wonder too is like, Are these actors not aware that 90% of the time that you're on set, your mic pack is on? Even if they're not recording anything, your mic pack is on. Mm-hmm. And the directors have headphones on. The producer, you know, everybody that's like way higher up on that echelon above you has headphones on. So there's no way that the director didn't hear this actor saying, we're all directors here. Like, think about what you're doing. You know, these are the guys that forget to cover their mics or forget to turn them off before they go to the bathroom and put the sound guys through all that horrible stuff they have to listen to every day, you know?
I couldn't believe the audacity. Like you said, the audacity horse of this actor, because it's not his place. And then to double down and say that we're all directors here. And sure enough, I did, when I was talking to the AD out of the room, I even like told them by mistake, like I wasn't trying to like tattletale on this actor, but I definitely was like, yeah. Then they like doubled down and said that like we're all directors here. And I was like, please tell me, is this individual a director on the set? Because then obviously I will go apologize. Like, I am not trying to ruffle any feathers here. And the AD was like, absolutely not. That person's never directed anything. I've seen their IMDb. Like,
yeah.
They don't have a single directing credit. And I was like, not to toot my own horn, but I've got a plethora of directing credits.
Right. And that would have been my question to the actor, would have been like, oh, okay, I didn't see your name as a director on the call sheet. Like, they should probably update that, you know?
Maybe that's what I should have said instead of being so snippy. But
yeah. No, I think you responded correctly. Like, gee, that's just... Yeah, like, I don't even have words. Like, the amount of unprofessionalism that came out of that actor at so many different moments all at the same time is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and that is thus what brought us the episode today of unsolicited advice, because I was not asking for the advice. And believe it or not, I'm actually a pretty damn good actress. So there's not a lot of times where I need a lot of direction, especially if it's one line in a movie that I have no, again, you could take my character out of the, they could cut me completely out and nothing would change in the film.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's kind of what brought me to this discussion, because I think there's a lot of times where we want to help someone. I think a lot of times advice is truly someone wanting to help someone else out. Like, if you get to like the meaty and like the nitty gritty of like why people do give unsolicited advice. But the thing is that if someone doesn't ask for it, it's better just to kind of keep it to yourself and move on with your day. Like, that whole interaction could have completely been avoided.
Yeah. And I think like some of the worst horror stories I have about unsolicited advice, we're going to go to a completely different genre of stuff now. But as you know, Dare, I was an electrician for 10 years before I came to California to start doing the acting thing. And you see so much of that same type of thing in the construction field. Like, anybody that works blue collar jobs is going to know that you experience a lot of stuff like this. Like, number one, when you get on a job site, you have a blueprint to follow on. These cables need to go here. This is where the air conditioners are going to go. And all of that stuff is designed by an architect or an engineer. And they design buildings with numbers and math, and they don't design it with practicality, you know? So it's easy for the architect to say, well, this air duct is going to go this way. And it's easy for the electrician that you're the project manager that's doing the electrical to come in and say, okay, well, my wires are going to go this way and we're going to go here, here, and here. And then you get on the job site and you have wires that are supposed to go through in the middle of air ducts that can't happen. You have underground raceways that are supposed to go around in ways that are impossible because they're going through, you know, underground water reservoirs or whatever. I mean, there's just a myriad of issues that you always come across in real life scenarios that the project managers and the architects, they never think about that stuff because they're never on site. You know, it's like you have, you know, somebody telling you, a fireman, how to put out fires when they've never actually turned on a hose themselves, you know? So it's that audacity, I guess, and this bleeds over into a lot of other industries too, but it's like, it's almost that audacity of upper management telling you how to do your job because they're like, oh, wouldn't it be easier to do it this way and this way, when it's like, they don't even know the 30 steps in between point A and point B that have to happen. So like, you know, it's not so much where it's like they're giving you advice unsolicited in a way where they're like, I think this actually could make you do better and I have experience in it. It's that more of that like ego thing where they're like, well, I'm higher up on you than the ladder, so you should do it this way. You know, I mean, it's hard to even think of specifics in the realm of construction because it was like a daily occurrence that you'd have to deal with every single day. Some engineer architect said, no, just do it this way. Tra la 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 la. And you're like, cool. I can't crawl through a shaft full of asbestos that hasn't been touched in 60 years, you know?
Yeah.
But on their side, they're like, I just see an empty shaft. I don't know what you're talking about. Just get in there. We bid this job to be done 2 days ago, and you're costing us money, you know? Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. It sucks.
I always forget that you lived another life outside of being an actor. I'm like, oh, yeah. You had, like, a real hands-on job.
Yeah.
Not that you don't have one now, but, like, that's very taxing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really built for that anymore.
I was gonna say, do you miss it?
No, not at all. Yeah, let me tell you, getting up at 4 a.m. every day to drive 2 hours across the country to a cold concrete building with no windows in the middle of January in Wisconsin. Yeah, no, I miss it so much.
Ooh.
You know what? I'm just going to go.
You're just going to go there. Yeah. Now. You're like, you know what? I'm leaving right now.
That's it, yeah.
There was a moment at a con where I felt like I was going to turn around and leave due to unsolicited advice. I had this one written down. Do you like my segue?
Yeah, no, that was perfect. You're like, bam.
I've gotten really good at segues lately. But I did have this moment where I was at a con, jumping back into like the unsolicited and like very specific stories. There was a con goer, and this tends to happen a lot, that saw me in a cosplay and saw like the prop that I had with me and suggested that I paint or tape or spray some sort of color onto my skates to make them red. And
I remember this.
Yeah, I know exactly what they were trying to say, but the thing was, is there was no like, hi, hello, nice to see you. It was like they ran up to me and instantly were like, well, your skates aren't the right color. You should totally make them red. And I know how you could do it. You could do it like this, this, and this. And I flat out was like, hey, that's really nice of you, but these are $1,000 skates, so I'm not going to do that. And he instantly was like, oh. And I think he had realized that he had overstepped a boundary. And I was just like, it's a good suggestion. Thought of it myself. I totally get it. But no. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. And it's hard because it's like you don't want to come off, you know, inappropriately either, because you also don't know where these people are coming from. Like,
they're
at the cons. They're super excited. Maybe they had just done a cosplay where they had to do something like that, you know, whatever. But I remember this. And yeah, this guy came in like real hot.
Swinging.
And real pointed. Yeah, no, he came in like fists flying, like Naruto running at you. Yeah.
And I agree with what you're saying that, like, sure, of course, we don't know where they're coming
from.
Like,
it can be tough,
but
yeah.
But you don't know where I'm coming from.
Right, yeah.
That's the thing.
He didn't know,
like,
it was $1,000 skates, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is that I totally agree with you that I probably should have handled it a little bit more politely and a little bit more kindly, but it goes both ways.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you did it wrong. I'm saying I'm saying you handled it perfect, and that it's like, I'm saying how hard it can be in the moment to be able to judge that and react appropriately. And you totally did. Like, you read all the signs correctly, I
think.
You
think so?
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like I handled it the wrong way, but I'm also trying to, like...
I think I'm more of a dick than you are, too. That was maybe what it is.
I think it's just, like, at cons especially, it's like you're already in an environment where a lot of times people won't go to cons because of the fear of other people judging them on their outfit, that their hair isn't quite right, their shoes aren't the right color, they don't have the right earrings, their nails aren't done. Look at my nails. Nail cam.
Great cam.
But like, people get so in their head and they don't end up going to these cons. And that is the perfect reason, example, why sometimes people don't go. Because all it takes is one person to run up to you and be like, you obviously don't know Pokemon. This, your shoes are supposed to be red. Your hair is supposed to be orange. Your shirt's supposed to be yellow. When it's like, one, why do you care? Why do you care?
Right.
Like, I understand you're excited and you're just like having a good time, but it doesn't come off that way when someone runs up to you and says stuff like that.
Yeah.
It comes off as mean and rude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care where you're coming from, but like, to tell someone to change what they decided to wear that day or how to make it better in their opinion is not going to make me want to go back.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, I think with cons and suggestions about stuff at cons, or anytime you're about to offer somebody some kind of unsolicited advice, I think the 5-minute rule is like the perfect thing. And I don't know, I don't know if you ever heard about this or not. You're supposed to do it with, like, when you go out with, like, to the club or go out with your friends and stuff. You're always supposed to keep the 5-minute rule in mind. So, if, like, let's say you're in a cosplay and you have the wrong color shoes on or whatever, or in the same situation you're out with your friends and your friend is wearing a dress that's, like, ripped up at the bottom or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're at the house before you leave, you can say, hey, your dress is ripped at the bottom. Maybe you might want to change. Mm-hmm. Because they can fix that within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you're out at the club already and you notice it when you're in the middle of the dance floor, you don't say to her, hey, your dress is ripped. You probably should have changed before you got here. Oh. Inappropriate. So the 5-minute rule would be kind of the same way, where it's like, if you see something wrong with somebody's cosplay, is it something they can fix in 5 minutes on the spot with what's around them? If it's not, then don't say anything.
Well, and to piggyback off that, I think if this person would have came up to me and been like, oh, I love your cosplay, I think I, in my guilt, knowing this character, knowing it well, would have been like, thank you so much, man. I wish my shoes were the right color, though. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, if you lead with a compliment, 9 times out of 10, it's like when you ask a woman, like, oh, I love your dress. She will, 9 times out of 10, be like, I got it from here.
Right.
You know, like, it's just, it's thinking about what you're going to say before you say it, because you never know, which I need to obviously take that advice myself, because lately I've had a short fuse. But right. I do think it goes both ways.
Right. No, and I think, yeah, in that case, you could definitely offer the advice, as long as you'd offer it in a way that is a little bit more conversational, mm-hmm. or a little bit softer. Like, instead of coming up and saying, hey, your shoes should be red, you should paint them like this next time, maybe come up and be like, wow, was there a reason you decided to go with a white shoe? Is that a variant I'm not familiar with? Mm-hmm. And then you're giving the cosplayer an option to either educate you about a variant cover or a variant part of media that showed it, like, oh yeah, this was a deep dive poster art by this one artist where he had white shoes instead of red shoes, and that's what this is.
Yeah.
Or it gives the cosplayer the ability to be like, oh, I know, I wish they were red, but, like, I just didn't have time, but thank you for liking the rest of my outfit, you know, like, be nice about it.
Dang. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, kind of nailed that, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Save that, Chompy. We nailed it.
Save it, Chompy. Don't delete.
Check the
Don't
gate. Delete. Somebody check the gate. We don't need to do another take. We're good.
That was really good. I'm shook. Wow. Let me know in the comments if I should have Adam back. Okay.
Mr. Construction Guy got wisdom. What?
Got some wisdom in there. I also, like, didn't have time to make a note card, everybody, so I'm so sorry. I have one more unsolicited advice story that happened to me recently, and then we'll go to San Diego Comic-Con and we'll come back and then I'll have like 85. We're literally leaving for San Diego Comic-Con tomorrow.
Yep.
By the time this episode comes up, it'll have already happened, but, you know, just to give you guys some timeline. So I was actually in a show recently that went up on my birthday, which is why we had to take a whole month off of Delulu, because I was busy in this theatrical show. There was a day where we had to sing through the music without knowing the music. So they handed us a sheet of paper. They went, read it, sing it, be amazing. And I had 6 days to learn the music. So on the very first day, I opened my mouth hole and I tried to sing what was on the page. I can't sight read. So it was terrible. It was something kind of like, instead of like how the song goes at the very end, where it's like, I know this might sound problematic, but it helps when you know the words. So, and the notes.
See, and I sound the first way when I do know the words and the notes. I still sound the first way.
That's not true. That's lies. I've heard you sing before. But when you can't sight read, it kind of creates this block. Sometimes it's really hard to read music, understand it, and be able to sing it properly. And obviously, later on, I ended up getting the song. But first day, it was terrible. I'm a terrible sight reader. It comes out wonky. Basically what I just, the dying cat sounds I made. It's basically what was coming out of my mouth. Just like that. It was so good. And the other actor in the room hears me struggling, and just kind of goes, you know, I think it would sound better if you sang it like this. And I was a short fused woman that day. And I just looked, like, I literally did the, like, I was looking at my music. I was, the rainbows were above my head. There was birds singing in the distance. And they said that comment. And I was like, and my eyes were bloodshot. And it was raining. And there was thunderstorms. And I was like, this is my first time singing it, so of course it's not going to sound amazing. I will save your critique for later when I actually know the song. And wow. Then that person did not talk to me the rest of the rehearsal, which I understand. Okay. I agree. I would, you know. But the other thing is, it goes back to our first story, where it's like, don't give somebody notes. It's their first time trying something. Let them be bad at it. Let me be bad at it. Let me be bad at sight reading. And it's the first day. It's the first rehearsal. Like, cut me some slack here.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask, though, if it worked. Because if it did, then, like, in, you know, future stuff, I'm just going to be like, hey, can you try not sucking? And then if that works, you know.
Oh, giving
just, yeah, just like asking that? People, like, hey, can you just try not sucking?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Not go well. I've actually gotten advice similar to that in casting offices before where, yeah, from, like, big casting directors. Like, they didn't say it that way, but I think, like, the verbatim was, ooh, yeah, I really liked everything you just did, but can you do it better? And I'll be like, hey, well, what do you mean by better? Like, do you want, like, more energy? Do you want me to go to a different place emotionally? And they're like, no, I liked the energy and I liked the emotional state you were in. I'd really like to see you do it better. And that's all you get. Yeah. It was great. Oh my God. But that casting terrible. Director did end up hiring me for, I think, two different TV shows later.
So what did you do but to make it better?
I didn't book that role. No, okay. I definitely didn't book that role. I did not do it better. I think I did it only worse after that point. Like, I don't know what I did wrong the first time, but it was not good the second or third or fourth time after that either. Yeah.
Okay, but that's not unsolicited, though, because it's their job to give you the advice.
Right.
But okay. The way that they phrased it was unsolicited. Like.
Right. Give me advice better. I can use. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Do you want quicker, slower, more up-tempo?
Right.
More
but
sad?
The fact that they were just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, not any of that specifically. Just if you could just be better, that'd be great. And I was obviously not better. I did not book that role.
I've also gotten some weird notes in like callback rounds that I'm just like, I don't know what you're asking for, but I'm gonna do it again but different, and I don't know how.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I can't say I've ever been told to act better, though. I feel like I tell myself that every day.
Yeah, every day in real
I'll,
life
like,
yeah.
Look at something I threw down and I'm like, yeah, I can do it but better. Ugh.
Yeah.
But that's basically my unsolicited advice chapters, I guess, of the stories that inspired this episode. I do have a little bit of like an ending, so to speak, like advice to impart to you all if you would like it, since we are here in the Delulu canoe.
Is this a Jerry's final thought right now? Is that what this is about to do?
I think so.
Oh my God.
Like to put a little pretty bow on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. All so, right. Give it to us, Jerry.
Oh. I feel like the best thing you can say if you're ever wondering like why someone is telling you their woes, or like someone seems to be struggling with something but you don't know if it's appropriate to like chime in and give them advice, my therapist taught me this really great saying that I would love more people to get on board with. My trainer JP actually now does this all the time, is you ask them as soon as they hit the end of their monologue about how things are rough or how things are not going well, or they're trying to decide if they're going to break up with their girlfriend, they go, or you could go, so do you want advice or are you just venting? Because a lot of times people just want to vent. I would argue like more people just want to vent and they don't want the advice.
Yeah.
And I've had to have some conversations with people close in my life, to be completely transparent. I've had to tell them like, hey, when I tangent like this, I don't want the devil's advocate. Like, I don't need you to be on somebody else's side. I'm telling you this because I want you to be on my side. And sure, sometimes that kind of creates like a weird hierarchy where it's like, it's just me complaining negative thoughts at them. But there are some times where I do talk to people about certain events in my life and I do want their advice. But I would say maybe don't play devil's advocate unless I tell you that I want devil's advocate, you know, like just use the phrase, are you venting or do you want advice?
Yeah,
because you'll find that your relationships will grow stronger, because then there's no like weird tension when someone tells a story, and then you know exactly what they're looking for when they confide in you.
I think that's an important thing to do anytime anybody comes at you with anything, even their own problems, where they say, hey, I got this thing going on, and they start talking. Mm-hmm. Before you, you know, start interjecting fully, ask them as early as you can. Just say, hey, I understand you're going through some stuff right now. Are you venting right now? Or do you want advice on how to maybe help better the situation? Because a lot of times people just, they just want to vent, you know, if like somebody dies and they're just telling you about it. Like you, they don't want to hear you say, well, you know, don't worry, cheer up. Like it'll get better with time. We should go in and do this and it'll take your mind off it. No, just ask them right off the bat. Like, are you venting and you want me to listen? Or do you want me to help you get through this? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they might just be like, I'm just venting and that's all I need right now, you know, and yeah, just listen to them.
I think a lot of times we just want to feel like we're being heard. Yeah. So, and it's tough right now, especially just like in life, you know, with like social media and like politics and the news and all those sort of things. It's like the more you communicate with each other and you just have open and honest communication, the better off things are going to go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good final thought.
You think so?
Yeah.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah.
I felt good about saying it.
Yeah.
I like that I said it and then you took it and you said the same thing over, but then you added your own seasoning. That was great.
Yeah.
I like when you're like, seasoning. It was good. It was good. Good, like, bestie duo today. Let's go.
Clap.
Let's go.
Nailed it.
Ooh, also, you all should let us know in the comments below if you would like, oh gosh, I'm going to cringe. If you would like a story time of how terrible some of my past guy besties were, because I have like a laundry list of how notoriously terrible they all were. So,
ooh, sounds crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd want to hear.
I mean,
it, yeah,
it's tea about people I don't really know, so like I don't know how impactful it'll be, you know.
I mean, I don't think anybody really likes hearing stories about their friends being treated poorly.
Yeah, of course not. But I mean, if you came out on top, then it's like a triumphant story, and that's okay then. If you're like, yeah, I got treated horrible, but like I kicked his ass and I did blah, 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 I'd be like, yeah, get it, you know.
That is what I like to call victim to victor mentality.
Yeah.
Oh, I would say it's, yeah, I'd say I'm pretty victorious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's kind of all I have prepped, unless you have another story of
I think we hit some good ones. I think we went across a couple of different industries and yeah.
Could I give you some advice?
You know what? No.
Okay. And that's how you do it, everyone. On that note, we don't have anything for Patreon. We'll talk about something for Patreon. I don't know what we'll come up with. I forgot to tell people you were coming on this episode, so I'll make something.
Well, I mean, it happened like last second, so.
It's fine. But
no, you had no time to tell anybody it was going to be me.
Right? Yeah. Check us out on Patreon. We'll have an episode. Maybe I'll just ask you some spicy questions.
Okay.
I'll come up with some. Yeah, I'll ask you some spicy questions. Get to know Dizza. We'll do another episode where the patrons will ask you questions. I'll officially actually do it, but please join us. The Patreon starts as low as $5. It's super affordable. It helps keep the lights on for the podcast because we make $0 off of listeners on Apple, on Spotify, and on YouTube because we are not monetized. You have to hit a certain benchmark before you can be benchmark. Wow, my diction is terrible. You have to hit a certain benchmark in order to get monetization. So we've made $0 and that's okay, but Patreon's keeping us afloat in the canoe. So be sure to check us out there for extra extended episodes. Be sure to check out Adam William Zaster on his IMDb. It helps him get hired for more acting jobs. Woo, 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 woo. And be sure to check me out on places where you see me.
Yay. How disappointed they're going to be when they like, ooh, spicy questions, and it's literally 10 minutes of us talking about like spicy peppers and pepper and hot food. It's going to be great.
No. I'll come up with something. I'll come up with like a spicy. You know, there is a page, an internet page about you that's very interesting.
That is a true statement.
The spicy one.
That's a true statement.
So we'll see you on Patreon. Be sure to stay DeLulu so all your dreams.